There was a study done that's Jesus' story saying that, you know, the lowest amongst us are often the most caring, was the idea of it. So what they did is they went to Princeton Seminary and School, these people that are studying to become basically ministers. And they decided to do a study where they would do the following. They asked a group of seminarians on very short notice, they wanted them to go give a speech, and they gave them basically several choices. One choice was the story of the Good Samaritan. They had them reread the story and then go give a speech on that story. Another group of people were asked to give a speech on the importance of ministers in the ministry and the process of theology. The third group of people were asked to take any story from the Bible and lecture on it. So one group's the Good Samaritan, one picks their own story, one is more abstract, the impact of ministers basically in theology. They also then, in advance, to see a little bit about these people's character, they interviewed them and asked them to answer one of two questions. Did you go to seminary school to become a minister for your own personal fulfillment because you thought this would be something you would just enjoy personally, or did you do it because you wanted to serve others? Then they did a third factor. They told people one of two things after they picked their speech. They said either one thing, which was, oh, you're late. They're expecting you. You better get over. You're late right now. Get over to give your talk. Or they said, you have a few minutes, but you might as well walk over there right now so you'll be there early. Now, with those factors, they got to either speak about the Good Samaritan story, pick their own speech in the Bible, or they were assigned to give a speech about the logistics, basically, of ministers. They either got into the ministry because they wanted their own personal fulfillment, or they got in because they wanted to serve others. They were told they were late, or they were told that they had a little time to go ahead and go over there. Out of that group of people, along their path, all of them were set up. And here's what they were set up. On the stairs to the church was a person holding their head who looked like they'd been injured, and they were moaning and groaning in pain. The question would be, what percentage of the people would stop, and which of these people would most likely stop to help them? So my first question is, which of these people, write down, do you think was most likely to stop? The people that got into seminary because they wanted their own personal fulfillment or to serve others? Or do you believe it was based upon one of the other factors? It was based on reading the Good Samaritan story, for example. Who do you think was most likely to stop? Write that down. And then write down, what percentage of people do you think stopped? Who was most likely to stop and help the person who was suffering, just like the Good Samaritan did? And what percentage do you think stopped? Okay, question. How many think the people that were most likely to stop entered the seminary to help other people? Raise your hand if you think that was the number one factor. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, well, 80% of you, 85% of you, 90% of you. And most people tested believe that. How many think the person most likely to stop was the one who just read the story? Okay, that's the second largest one. Neither one was a factor. Neither one made any difference whatsoever. Nor did it matter what the subject was. Only 10% of the people stopped if they were told they were late. 67% of the people stopped no matter what they studied or read if they were not running late. That was the only factor that made a difference. People who entered the seminary to help people, who were going to talk about the story of the Good Samaritan who stopped along the road to help somebody who's suffering, stepped over the body of this person to go in the church and give their speech. And this was done with 100 seminary students. Is that trippy? Your entire values of compassion can be changed by whether or not you're in a rush. Think about that distinction when it comes to context, so you get an idea of the reality when we talk about what character is. And here's the last one I had for you, which is peer group. I found this one fascinating. How many have heard or saw the movie The Divine Sisters of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood? How many read the book, first of all? Raise your hand if you read the book. Okay? One girl in the room, one woman, two, excuse me. No men, notice, okay? How many of you saw the movie, by the way? I'm curious. Okay? Now, this particular book, when it first came out in 1996, sold 15,000 copies. A year later, it sold 80,000 copies, which was considered huge growth. 2 years later, it sold 2.5 million copies. Is that a bit of a change? Think of a book that sells only 15,000 copies is a total loser of a book. 80,000 copies is considered pretty, you know, a nice little success. 2.5 million is a number one bestseller. What changed it was only one thing. This woman who wrote the book is a bit of an actress, and she went and started doing public readings. People came to her readings and were inspired. And a group of people who are book readers, like book reading groups, began to study the book. And these small little groups became so involved that when she started doing book readings, people would come for book signings and they would bring five people. They'd bring six books for people in their book groups. Mothers started coming with daughters. Then three generations started to come. The book had stickiness, but what made it work was the context of these small little groups, which all started in the Bay Area of San Francisco and spread all across the country. It made it explode. Now, the reason I bring this point up is not just about books. Crowds make a difference, and the size of a crowd makes a difference, and I want to leave you with this last one to think about. Here's what they found. In all creatures on Earth, there are different sized brains. In human beings, we have the largest neocortex of any of the other mammals or any other animals. The neocortex is the part of the brain that does the most complex evaluations, where you really have to do your most intense thinking. There's been research done for 40 years about why, you know, primates have the largest neocortex and humans the largest ones of the primates. And all the research started out with evolutionary ideas that, okay, maybe it's because primates, we're the first ones really to eat fruit. And to eat fruit, you had to be able to not only climb the tree, but distinguish the fruit by color and shape. And then we had to peel the fruit. We had to separate the seeds. And these are more detailed evaluations. They found leaf eaters have, amongst primates, have neocortexes just as large. After 50 years of research, one factor was found to be the defining factor, and it's statistically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. The size of the neocortex is directly related to the size of the group that that particular animal normally has as its community. And it's to an exact ratio in every animal, except man, who has difficulty, obviously, because their group has changed radically from the way we were made. Here's what happens. If you had a group of five people you got to keep track of relationships with, you have five relationships with those five people that you individually have a relationship with, and then you have those other four people's relationships with each other. So you have your five relationships plus those four with each other. That's another eight relationships. There's 13 relationships you have to keep track of. If you figure the math of when you just all of a sudden add 20 people to the group, it grows geometrically. It begins to go exponentially. Now, here's what I want you to do just for 1 second. Write down as fast as you can all the people who, if they died, it would deeply, deeply emotionally affect you. It would devastate you if they died. Just being totally honest, don't exaggerate. It would destroy you. You feel like your life was destroyed if they died. It would emotionally impact you at the deepest level.